Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to spending some time with you today in the last chapter of the book of Zechariah. So if you've been here for all of our series on the book of Zechariah, I want you to reach your hand behind your back right now and give yourself a pat, because that is an accomplishment. Appreciate you just being so faithful. John Edmonds is with me again in the studio today. John, thanks for coming.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Pastor.
We were talking a bit before today's podcast just about Zechariah chapter 14, and some people have struggled with this chapter. But honestly, if you look at the Bible in its literal, grammatical, historical context, most of the time, John, it's really not that difficult to understand.
You're exactly right, Pastor. People often make passages challenging when they really shouldn't be that way. I mean, Zechariah 14 is just a great passage about what will happen someday.
When people don't understand something, sometimes it tells me, and that's not to say that there aren't parts of Scripture that are hard to understand. There are. And Peter told us that in his epistle. Hey, some things are hard to be understood. We have to ask for the Spirit's help, and we have to study and all those things. So I get it. But, you know, in life, when we don't understand what somebody says, sometimes that tells me something about me, not something about them. Like sometimes people read into things. Like a person says, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to that event. Well, I wonder what I did to offend them. What's going on? What do they really mean? No, that's what they meant. Yeah, just take it at face value. There's a law in hermeneutics basically that says, if the literal sense makes sense, seek no other sense. And I think that's a good rule of thumb.
That is a good principle in the Bible. You're right, Pastor, in life in general, talking with people.
So Zechariah chapter 14, the Bible says in verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So, wow. That's kind of a disturbing behold, isn't it?
It certainly is, as God allows Zechariah to see what's going to take place, right? Right when Christ comes back again, the second coming, and how that Jerusalem nations will be gathered, and Jerusalem is going to be in dire straits right before Jesus Christ returns.
So when the Bible says the day of the Lord, John, explain to our listeners, you know, what does that term mean?
You know, the day of the Lord does, it's interesting in Scripture how it's used in different ways. In this way, very specifically right toward the day of judgment. But the day of the Lord encompasses a big period of time on some occasions. Sometimes it's a day of doom and gloom. Some days, though, we find there's blessings attached with that. And so it's not just one day, although in Zechariah 14, we're first of all going to focus upon the doom and the gloom. And then we're going to see what will happen with the blessing of Christ.
Sure. So when we talk about the day of the Lord in Zechariah chapter 14, we're talking about that season at the end of the tribulation period when Antichrist has assembled, you know, his forces. The nations of this world have turned their attention toward Israel to destroy her. And of course, Jesus returns and puts down Antichrist and sets up his kingdom. So it's the day of the Lord in the sense that God predicted it. It's the day of the Lord in the sense that it's a season in which God is working in an overt way to accomplish his will. Not that he's not working today in that sense, but it's the day of the Lord. And sometimes we'll look at circumstances in our life and we'll think, well, this is the day of, and we'll put our persecutor as the object of the preposition, or we'll put, you know, some circumstance as the object of the preposition. And what we have to realize is that God is the object of the preposition. God is the one here that is in control. He's the one that has a plan, and he's the one that's working that plan for his glory.
That's a great principle, Pastor, for us to remember that in our life, God is always at work. And yes, we're looking right now at what will happen someday to the nation of Israel, city of Jerusalem, and what God will do then. But as you talked about in our life today, it's important to remember that God is always at work. God knows even when the sparrow falls, God certainly knows what's happening in our life. Nothing ever escapes him.
So it's interesting in verse 2, if you caught it a moment ago when I read the verse, the Lord is speaking, and he says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, humanly speaking, it would appear that Antichrist is gathering these nations. It would appear that the devil is the mover and shaker behind this battle. And yet, what does the Lord say hundreds of years, thousands of years before the event? You know, I'm gathering. It's not the fact that God is designing evil or designing hurt against his people. It's just the fact that God is in control.
You know, I love, pastors, we think about the tribulation period, which obviously this is the culmination of that time. I love how the fact we find in Scripture that God is actually using the tribulation period to get Israel to the place where Israel will finally turn and recognize Jesus Christ is our Messiah. And I know that you've already discussed this in Zechariah chapter 12, but what a great thought that God so much loves the people of Israel, he wants them to turn to Jesus Christ. And God often will use hard days in people's lives to get them finally to turn to him and rely upon him in faith. And God is also using this to bring the nations together to judge all of these nations.
So think about it in your own life as you're listening this morning, or really whatever time of day you're listening, what are the seasons in your life that cause you to think most of God, that cause you to turn your heart more to God? Often they are the seasons when you are not in control, where things are happening to you and your life seems to be falling apart and people that you love are being challenged. That's what's happening here. And as you referenced, John, this is the season where when Jesus returns, they're finally able to recognize this is the one we have pierced. They recognize him for who he is. But I think part of that recognition process is coming to the end of oneself.
You know, I think, Pastor, as you mentioned, how that often difficulties bring us to a point where we realize we cannot do things in our own power. It's been a long time now, but often, you know, 9/11, we don't talk about that a whole lot anymore. And it's hard to believe how long ago, you know, in your life, in my life, you know, the age we are now is still very fresh in our minds. People that are 20 years old, it means nothing to them as far as reality, them experiencing it. But I think back to that time how people started praying, people who never would have prayed. But it seemed like everything was going, you know, out of control. What's happening here? We're being attacked. In a time of great mourning, people turned to God and prayed. And that is just a small slice of what it's going to be like in the tribulation period when there will be things happening beyond even what we can imagine right now.
No, that's a great illustration. Look at verse number 3. And I hated, I'm sorry, I'm looking across the page of the book of Malachi. Wrong verse 3. Zechariah 14 and verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as what he fought in the day of battle. So when things seem the worst, when literally the entire world is against Israel and half the city has been destroyed and horrible things are taking place, the Bible says, then shall the Lord go forth and he shall fight against those nations. So God will fight the battle for them in the nick of time.
You know, I love how this is introduced to us. You know, we have these terrible things that are happening. As you mentioned, then the Lord, in verse 3, you know, this is just a fantastic event that Christ is going to accomplish here when Christ returns. And obviously, we're going to get details of it here. There are not many details in verse 3, but this is going to be a time that is such a 180-degree turn that it's just going to be amazing to the people of Israel, of Jerusalem, of what will transpire when Christ does return.
Right. The Lord's presence changes everything. So that's the general principle. When the Lord arrives on the scene is diametrically changed. And that's true in all of our lives. Look at verse number 4, and his feet. So you talked about the details that will follow. So the Lord is going to return. The Lord's going to fight in battle. But now God gives us some of the details of this return. And let me just pause for a moment and say that when we talk about Christ's return, so sometimes we'll talk about the second coming of Christ. We talk about the first coming of Christ as coming to Bethlehem, coming to his own. John chapter 1 and verse 13, he came to his own. And then we talk about the second coming of Christ. But sometimes, John, I think we are not careful with our words. And so we'll talk about the second coming of Christ as being the rapture. And is there a sense in which the rapture is the second coming? I suppose, but I think it's probably confusing to equate the two. When we think about a coming of Christ, we have to answer the question, coming where? So in the first coming, he came to the earth. He comes again to the earth here at the end of Daniel's 70th week, at the end of the time of great tribulation, he comes. So the second coming of Christ is really not the rapture. It's the coming of Christ to this earth.
That's a great point and a great clarification because people sometimes do confuse those. But as you mentioned, Christ will not return to the earth at the rapture. We will meet him in the air. And so it is important for people to make that differentiation of what Christ is doing in his plan as he works with people on this world.
So I would say to all of you that know Christ is your Savior, you are looking for the coming of Christ, as John just explained. But the coming that you're looking for, even so come Lord Jesus, you know, loving his appearing, is that coming in the clouds, coming in the air. And we shall be caught up. That's what the word rapture is. It's the word harpazo. That's the Greek word. The Latin word is rapturo. That's where we get the word rapture. We shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't say, so shall we ever be in heaven. No, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the great thing about eschatology is that although we might not understand all the nuances of everything that's going to happen in the future, one thing we do know is at the time of the rapture, when we're caught up to be with Christ, wherever he goes, we go. And that is comforting to me.
It's very comforting. It's very exciting. And it reminds us of our right focus. You know, being reconciled to God, trusting in Christ, our Savior. Yes, our sins are forgiven and we're not going to go to hell someday. But the great part about this is we're going to be with him. It's not that we're going to be in the city of gold, whatever we may be doing in eternity. It's going to be that we will be with Christ, dwelling with Christ. Eternal life is to know God. And what a great thought that is.
And not just sitting on a cloud playing a harp, although that doesn't sound bad. No, we're going to be serving with him. We're going to be ruling and reigning with him. We're going to be returning with him. The very return about which we're speaking here in Zechariah chapter 14 will be the return of Christ to this earth as we, as glorified saints, return with him. It's going to be a wonderful day, but you're going to have to wait until next episode to find out a little bit more detail about that day because we're out of time for today. So we're going to quit right here at verse 3. We'll jump right into verse 4 next episode. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.